इतिहास द इंडियन हिस्ट्री पॉडकास्ट।
Hey, so what did you have for breakfast?
Well, my mother-in-law is fasting today, so there is a lot of upvas food in the house.
Okay.
So I had sabudana khichdi, then upvas special, batata bhaji and buttermilk.
Oh, so you are fasting the Portuguese way?
Yeah.
Didn't you know? What do we eat basically for fasting food? We eat sabudana, which is tapioca starch.
Yeah.
Sweet potatoes.
Yeah.
And potatoes. None of these come from India. They're all from outside of India.
So, I am fasting not with the local food, but with food which was brought from outside and for some random god of mine who funnily accepts foreign food only.
Yeah. So, I'll tell you how. Let's go back to, say, around latter half of, towards the end of 15th century, when Cristobal Colon, as he is called in Spain, or Christopher Columbus, mm-hmm. as he is known all over the world, went in search of pepper to India, and accidentally, he found Dominican Republic and chilies.
Okay.
So, these chilies were the local product which traveled with him back to Europe, then with the traders and the missionaries went to Portuguese and say Arabian region. The Portuguese, when they went to Brazil, they brought back cassava and sweet potatoes. So eventually all these products made their way to India, and that's how we were introduced to this food.
Well, call it a process of assimilation or whatever, but the spices have blended so nicely with our culture that we do not even know that they do not belong here. I'm still puzzled as to why do we have Portuguese upvas items. Okay, so welcome back to Made in India here on Itihas, and we are here discussing today such fun food stories. I am joined today on this podcast by a very dear friend of mine, Gandhali Kulkarni. Gandhali is a food enthusiast and an expert on Spain and all things Spanish. So, Gandhali, welcome to Itihas.
Thank you.
It's lovely to have you here. Going back to our Portuguese upvas story, let's discuss a bit about how a lot of spices were not actually originated in India,
right,
but how they made their way from some faraway country all across a lot of oceans,
right,
to India, and how we have sort of accepted them, embraced them with open arms. So Indians used to add flavors to their food by indigenous spices,
right,
that were pepper, ginger and clove. Now as colonizers came, they got their native spices along,
right,
and over the years these spices have blended very nicely,
yes,
in Indian cuisine to an extent that spices has sort of become one of the most well-known identities of India in the world. So, Gandhali, according to what you just said about Portuguese invaders, or let's say Portuguese traders coming to India and
right,
bringing their food along.
Right.
Okay, so they landed on the Indian shore. They started interacting with the Indian population. What happened after that?
If we look at how the legends or the folklore about Christian missionaries are present, people say that these missionaries who brought cassava, which is a tapioca starch origin, or potatoes, sweet potatoes and other indigenous products with them, they said that this is kind of the holy food, or the food which is eaten in service to gods. So people who were embracing slowly the faith of Christianity started eating all these products, thinking that if they eat this, it is going to be like an adulation or an adoration of the gods.
Okay.
Now, let me scandalize you even further by telling that even the chili, the symbol of Indian cuisine, is not our own as well.
What are you saying?
Yeah. You don't believe me?
No.
Let's go back to the story of chili.
Okay.
So, chili or chili pepper that we eat in almost all the Indian regions comes from the region of Mexico.
Wow.
Yes, the word chili is actually an indigenous word referring to the indigenous population of Nahuatl chili from Mexico. It is said that the Mexicans had been over centuries eating chilies in different forms, and these chilies, with let's say the process of Colombian exchange or the colonization, were brought to different regions of the world, especially to Europe. Mm-hmm. With these invaders and their entourage, these plants and the seeds went to, let's say, the European region, but mainly as a decorative plant. So if you see at a chili plant, for example, it has very small but very beautiful leaves.
Yeah.
The chili blossoms are very pretty.
They look very pretty.
Right. So the missionaries and the Jesuits used the chili plants to decorate their churches and convents and monasteries.
Oh, right.
So this beautifying or decorative element from there traveled with the missionaries to different parts of the world, basically to Philippines and Asia. And the rest, as they say, is history.
Absolutely. I mean, we seem to have taken to chilies as if fish to water. So we have a lot of separate regional varieties of chilies as of today. There is Badgi Mirchi from Karnataka. There is Degi Mirach, which Rajasthani cuisine uses.
Yeah.
The very red in color Kashmiri Mirch. Then there's Mundu chili, which is
round, small,
you see. And of course, Bhuj Jolokia, the spiciest chili in the world.
Yes.
400 times spicier than Tabasco sauce. Bhuj Jolokia is a northeastern variety and it's amazing to have such a variety in one country. Of course, that happened due to the sheer diversity that India has when it comes to soil and climate.
Right. Interestingly, Bhuj Jolokia is said to be originated from the south of Mexico, descendant of the original Cubanella chili. Alright, coming back to the Indian varieties of chilies, we also have Dhani Mirch, then we have Guntur, mm-hmm. we have Jwala and Sannam. And of course, not surprisingly, having all these varieties, we are the largest producer, consumer and exporter in the world of chili. So now listen to these amazing statistics. We have chili plantations across about 8 lakh hectares of land. We annually produce about 13,76,000 tons of chilies every year, out of which 70% we consume ourselves.
Right.
And 30% is 30% we export.
Right. So gradually, the Indian population accepted and adopted chili as their own baby, and then this baby chili became a part of our cultural beliefs.
Yeah, very
which
much.
Is expected because, you know, gastronomy is a large part of any region's culture.
Right.
And chili, so Indianized by now, is of course not an exception. A good thing here is that chili went across all castes and creeds. So
right.
You will find chili used in all households. Now, it mostly depends upon the gastronomic habits and culture of that particular family.
Obviously.
But undoubtedly, chili has a presence, a very, very prominent presence in most of the Indian kitchens. I would also say that mirchi as a word resonates so much with Indian ethos that you even have so many mentions of mirchi in all parts of your life. The first private FM channel, for that matter, started to use this word mirchi.
Yes.
Because it is just something that we identify India with.
Right. Even if you ask anybody outside of India, you say the word Indian food and everybody starts saying, oh my God, we know that Indian food is very hot.
Yeah.
And we are famous for that
yeah.
because of, obviously, our chilies.
Correct.
It's not only food, but chili has also become a part of our cultural beliefs and superstitions.
Right.
So, if we look at, for example, tying a small thread with chilies and lemons
mm-hmm.
to avoid the evil eye.
Yes.
Then we also use some things like not eating chili during solar eclipses
yeah.
or lunar eclipses.
Yes.
Is something that we adhere to and very strongly.
Totally.
Also, it is worth noting that India is one of the very few countries that has a spices regulation authority.
Okay.
We have an authority called Indian Spices Board.
Wow. So, I think that itself shows how much rooted all these spices have become in
right.
India. So, to sum it up, spices, many of them, most notably those which have sort of become an identity for India, are not native to this land. They were brought from outside, but we have adopted them so beautifully that as a concept, as an identity or as a product, they have eventually become made in India.
Right.
So we stop here for today. We come up again with one more such interesting topic, which is also related a bit to the gastronomic history of India, that we'll discuss upon in the next episode. Till then, keep listening. Stay tuned.